But most importantly, this year, we expect the discourse on a green window carve-out in the midst of trade wars between China, Europe, and the US. While they will fight like cats and dogs, we will see cooperation.
Hello and welcome to The Evaluator, a podcast by the Independent Evaluation Unit, IEU, of the Green Climate Fund, GCF. I'm your host, Yeonji Kim, Communications Officer at the IEU. For our new listeners who may be tuning in for the very first time, the IEU conducts independent evaluations to help make the GCF faster, smarter, and better. Through its evaluations and reviews, the IEU collects and produces high-quality evidence to inform policymaking within the GCF and the broader international climate finance arena that translates into better outcomes on the climate action front. And this podcast, The Evaluator, is designed to bring you compelling insights on cutting-edge topics related to evaluation, climate action, and development, featuring experts from across the globe as well as from within the IEU. Through The Evaluator, we communicate the IEU's learnings from its evaluations to the listeners, but also we learn from other evaluation, climate finance, and development experts on relevant topics. Today's episode focuses on the topic of climate bonds, also referred to as green bonds or sustainable bonds. We will get to hear from Sean Kidney, CEO of Climate Bonds Initiative, or CBI. CBI is an NGO working to mobilize the $100 trillion bond market for climate change solutions. First of all, a few words on climate bonds. Climate bonds are bonds linked to climate change solutions. They are issued in order to mobilize finance for climate change solutions, which can be either both mitigation or adaptation-related projects. Some examples of projects that have been financed by climate bonds include building solar power plants, electric railways, and energy-efficient buildings within mitigation, and building Nile Delta flood defenses and helping the Great Barrier Reef adapt to warming waters within adaptation. Like normal bonds, climate bonds can be issued by governments, multinational banks, or corporations. The issuing entity guarantees to repay the bond over a certain period of time, plus either a fixed or variable rate of return. Aside from having a climate theme, climate bonds largely function as conventional debt instruments. They are risk-weighted and credit-rated in the usual way and tradable in international secondary bond markets. Now, this market has only existed for little more than a decade. To tell you about the current state of this market, here's Sean Kidney.
We've seen a very rapid growth of demand and issuance for what is still a niche market. The global bond market is $100 trillion outstanding. But in this particular market, which I'm going to call the green bonds and its daughters, which are other kinds of thematic bonds that use the same model, we're at about $1.7 trillion outstanding. We're expecting issuance in this total sector to reach $1 trillion new this year, at least according to Standard & Poor's. So this is extraordinary growth of the market. So this year we've seen in the first quarter an 81% growth in the global green bond market compared to the first quarter last year. In China, it's 109% growth. We're expecting the Chinese market to double this year. The main thing is it's growing very fast, but it started in development banks. The European Investment Bank and then the World Bank issued green bonds in 2008. It took to 2013 before we saw commercial green bonds. And since then, we have just taken off. We see market issuance by every kind of actor that can issue a bond. There are examples of them issuing green bonds. The largest green bond issuer in the world is actually Fannie Mae, the secondary mortgage company of the US, who issues green bonds to finance energy efficiency and water efficiency improvements in multifamily homes, social housing of various sorts.
Sean also says green bonds are causing a shift in thinking among investors who may not previously have considered greening their investment portfolio. They are a sort of gateway green investment, if you will.
The green bond market has been a fantastic icebreaker tool to get investors rethinking their portfolios. There is one thing we have done in the last 10 years here. We have shifted the terms of debate from an idea that green investments, climate-related investments, are negative, are going to be a burden, are more expensive, are riskier, to the inverse. Now, when I talk to investors, they treat the pool of investments represented in the green market as lower risk because of the extent to which this has matured and is seen now as an area that is less likely to be impacted by policy transitions.
Indeed, green bonds are popular with investors because they address one of the most important long-term risks of our time, climate risk. In a world where many traditional investments are increasingly risky because of a changing climate, investors increasingly look to green investments.
For investors, they like something which addresses risk mitigation around climate. It's a narrative that they can take to their asset owners. This is a market globally outside of China that's been driven by asset owners being concerned about long-term matching of assets and liabilities. If you saw the Institute of Actuaries report co-authored by Johan Rockström about 4 or 5 years ago, you would have seen the headline which said that by 2050, the portfolios of institutional investors will be decimated by climate change on current trajectories. Note that current trajectories means the worst possible trajectory of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. So that's the background context. What do we do? What do we do? Especially as modern portfolio management theory typically has only a 5-year horizon. Well, a green bond is one of those things. It operates like any other bond. It has a similar risk yield profile, but it also, as a bonus feature, addresses a long-term risk. At least it is seen to be doing such. And it is something that investors are really keen on.
Besides the climate risk aspect and the feel-good aspect of investing in green projects, Sean says there are also other benefits to green bonds for investors. One of them is that green bonds actually tend to perform better in the markets than vanilla bonds or regular bonds, both when they are first issued and when they are traded.
If you're a green bond issuer in US dollars or euros, you are likely to get a lower rate if you issue compared to a vanilla. And in fact, we saw the German government with their green bond prove this decisively because they allowed a vanilla and a green version to be issued the same day and in an environment where they are getting negative interest rates. That is, we are paying the Germans to look after our money. Crazy. They got a 1 basis point lower spread for the green format than compared to the vanilla format. This is an extraordinary development. In the secondary market, the extra bonus feature of a green bond, a bit like getting a free set of steak knives when you buy a car, the extra bonus feature is making it into a premium product. Whenever there's a downturn in bond markets, green bonds hold their value. It's a defensive market. So a bond which has superior performance characteristics in the secondary market is gold dust for investors. And then last March, when bond markets froze up around the world, we had investors telling us that green bonds stayed liquid. They would continue to be able to be traded while vanilla bonds couldn't. Now, this is extraordinary for investors. As a result, the secondary market price for green bonds is a premium compared to ordinary bonds wherever price discovery is available, liquid currencies.
According to CBI's investor surveys, other benefits for issuers include helping them develop the relationship they have with their main institutional investor base. In CBI's Green Bond Treasurer Survey 2020, 91% of respondents said a green bond facilitated more engagement with investors. Now, turning our attention towards developing countries, which is where the GCF finances climate projects. These countries are experiencing a major gap between their need to invest in climate resilience and the low amount of public financing that is available. Can climate bonds be used for that too?
We've got to prepare our societies. Resilience investments in developing countries will become the norm in the next few years. And we want to, we will be bringing that in, expanding the green bond market universe to include them. We've already seen a number of resilient investments, whether it's water investments in Cape Town, who issued a green bond, or the Netherlands government, who issued a sovereign bonds to finance coastal protection. There'll be a lot more of this going forward.
However, for climate bonds to be applied in developing countries, there are certain financial issues that need to be overcome. Issues that affect emerging market domestic issuances, in particular, are creditworthiness and currency related. Here's Sean Kidney again.
So the issuance process is pretty straightforward. People need to decide. They've still got to have a means of achieving creditworthiness. This is not a replacement for addressing the fundamentals, the financial viability of issuance, which is scale, creditworthiness, currency, for that matter, in different places. We are, of course, working on greater appetite for emerging market currency. And one thing I can tell you this year and last year, we now have strong appetite by a number of Western investors for domestic currency, government-level bond issuance in key emerging markets. This is a change. So the Indonesian government can issue rupiah green bonds now in a way that wouldn't have been able to 3 years ago or 4 years ago when it started its program. And that applies to all the major economies going forward. In other words, investors are able to deal with the hedging risk if they've got the security of government-level creditworthiness. They're generally zero-rating government-level credit, apart from a few countries like Mozambique. And there's a story there to tell about malfeasance in Mozambique. So the creditworthiness issue and the currency issue are rapidly evolving. Now, if we can get development banks to do more support of domestic market programs, then we should be able to get international investor participation in, say, rupiah bonds from the commercial market in Indonesia, because the ADB can take up some of that credit, or maybe using a slice of funding from the GCF, as we have seen in some funds that have applied successfully to the GCF for funding and are coming to fruition now. So there's a job about blended finance to address these issues going forward. But at the end of the day, you've got to have some kind of level of creditworthiness that the market wants, and demand is at the top end of the market, not the bottom end of the market. You've got to have scale. $20 million bonds don't cut it in international markets, but they might in a domestic market. And currency, you've got to be able to address whatever the currency issues that you're facing.
So as Sean says, there is potential for domestic governments and development banks to address some of these issues and scale up climate bonds issues by developing countries too. Well, what does the future of climate bonds look like?
There will be a lot more work coming to market this year to make it easier to know what to do, with implications for incentives across the different parts of the economy. We will see more incentives, more blended finance to crowd in private capital across the economy. We will also see new instrument development. We saw 2 days ago, Goldman Sachs announced green equity. What in the world is that? Well, I know a number of companies that are doing green equity modeled on green bonds going forward, but it'll be a lot more than that. It'll be aggregation vehicles for municipal investments in India, which will use green bonds to be financed. It'll be catalyst funds set up by the Asian Development Bank, as they have already done in many countries. A lot of these things are supported by the Green Climate Fund, or will be supported by the Green Climate Fund going forward. But most importantly, this year, we expect the discourse on a green window carve-out in the midst of trade wars between China, Europe, and the US. While they will fight like cats and dogs, because it's electorally popular, we will see cooperation. We are seeing already cooperation on green, collaboration on meeting our targets. Think of this as ending up being zero tariffs for zero carbon steel. So while Europe will bring in carbon tariffs next year, exclusions for products that are reflected in the taxonomies, the common ground taxonomy between China and Europe, will become the norm. And that'll also apply to financial products. We expect to see selective loosening up of capital controls in many countries if it's green, as part of the quid pro quo here. Green window will become the norm.
There you have it. We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Evaluator by the Independent Evaluation Unit of the Green Climate Fund. The next episode will zoom in on climate bonds and the potential danger of impact washing, again featuring Sean and a surprise guest. So stay tuned. Remember to tweet your thoughts about the show with the hashtag TheEvaluator. That's all for now. Signing off from the IEU headquarters in Songdo, Republic of Korea. Thank you for listening.